Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here today for Get Yourself the Job on LA Talk Radio with myself and our co-host, amazing Brandon Maslin. Before we jump into today's wonderful guest, who I think you're going to really get a lot of valuable information about, I'd love to take a moment to thank our sponsors, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including temporary placement, executive search, and permanent job placement. So please do keep them in mind for all of your recruitment needs. Now, Brandon, I would love to have you today share with us a little bit about the guest we have with us, Michelle DiBella, since you know her so well and you can really attest to the skills, and I know you've been friends for many years as well. Can you share with our audience a little bit about who Michelle is and talk a little bit about what we're going to get into today?
Yeah, happy to do it. Michelle DiBella, as you mentioned, we partnered and collaborated numerous times over the years, and she's become also a dear friend to me. Michelle's one of those people, I always joke around, if it's a Sunday or if it's in the middle of a family event, it's inevitable that Michelle will call me, and it's equally inevitable that I would pick up the phone. And I tend to do that for people who lift up others. And there's few people I know better on earth that lift up others the way that Michelle DiBella does. A little bit of a really impressive background, though. I'm going to read from her bio for one second. You know her well. Michelle is currently a VP of Finance, Transformation, and Governance at Lyft. She helps the company's finance teams reach new heights. She's really a culture builder. She's all things. She joined in this amazing company. I've met their teams. They have so much passion, and she brings people together. She's a champion. She's been part of almost every women's employee resource group at every company she's ever been at, and in particular, helping women in finance reach new heights. Previous to that, she was a chief audit executive at Uber, improving culture scores and corporate governance. And before that, where we first met, she was at Hewlett Packard, where she was the vice president of internal audit and really was leading world-class leadership summits once again, helping others rise. And before that, she was at Ernst & Young. So she was kind of in the belly of the beast. Not that Ernst & Young is bad, but doing the in-house day in and day out. Ernst & Young is great. But really, just for those of you who don't know, being in one of these big shops has its own journey, and historically a unique journey for powerful women. And to that, Michelle is one of the most powerful women I know, one of the most powerful humans I know, and just a generosity of spirit. And I'm so grateful that the audience gets to listen to her wisdom today. So, Michelle, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Michelle. It was such a pleasure getting to know you a little bit, but in our pre-checking call and advocacy of what and who is an advocate and how can you either be a great advocate or find an advocate, which I think is integral to having success long-term in your career. So maybe if you wouldn't mind, Michelle, if you could start off today by sharing with us a little bit about what advocacy means to you and your journey, and perhaps discuss if it's the same or maybe a little different than something such as mentorship.
Absolutely. And you know, Brandon and I have talked together many times and talked about the differences. You know, advocacy to me is almost, it's a lot about personal brand. It's what people say about you, even when you're not in the room. And people will say those things for different reasons. You know, sometimes they just feel compelled to speak out for you and advocate for you when you're not in the room to, again, maybe highlight your value to others or introduce your value to others. Sometimes they're asked directly by their network and they're going to, you know, they're being asked whether you're a good candidate for a position, for, you know, some type of role, some type of involvement, and they're there to advocate but they're advocating for the best interest of the person who's asking. So sometimes it's really important to think about advocacy as a thing that gets said about you, whether you're there or not. Versus, you know, mentorship is much more about the personal relationship and someone helping another person develop their career, form their career journey, things like that. So the mentorship is really about the work you do with somebody. Advocacy sometimes happens whether you're there or not.
And sometimes I think what I love that we talked about offline is you might advocate for somebody and they might not even know that you're opening all the doors for them and that you're the one who's surreptitiously getting them into the meetings and the places to be. And Brandon, I know we were talking about this a little bit offline too, about the meetings right now, the doors that you want to get behind, the closed doors that you want to get behind are perhaps even more challenging now during these times of COVID than they ever have before, which is why it's important to know if you have any advocates and two, if you don't, learn how can I be the sort of person that somebody would want to advocate for?
Yeah, and I think that's actually why this topic really struck us was the importance in the more virtual world, the importance of having advocates. We're not having these check-ins in the hallways. You know, the room has gone truly virtual, and to some ways it's expanded, in some ways it's really shrunk. You know, I know for one, I talk to the same four people more than ever in a weird way. I've expanded and I've contracted in my own way. So I think having advocates right now, you need them because people don't see you day in and day out producing, and you need people telling people, others, what you're doing and how you're producing results. Michelle, can you maybe talk about how you've done that for others over the course of your career, made sure that even though maybe they're not in the room or not showing up day and day, that you're saying the good things about them?
Absolutely. You know, actually, it was interesting. One of the most recent examples that I have of my own personal advocacy for somebody, I got a call out of the blue from a former CFO. She is looking to help fill a significant position of governance. She called up to ask about somebody. That person probably has no idea that I'm part of this search at all. Fortunately, that person and I had a great relationship, and she's somebody that I would highly recommend for a lot of different things, and I had a lot of very solid reasons for doing that, but that was a request that came out of the blue. So people will reach out to your network, and, you know, I always try to say positive things about anybody, but clearly if somebody reaches out for somebody that I actually feel strongly for, they're reaching out to me, then my opinion does matter to them. This isn't me pushing my opinion on them. So that's a really important part of advocacy. I think I try to create that environment for other people, though. I think about, let's use the example of Delphine. I always respected and admired her as a peer. And part of my advocacy was, you know, really making sure that other leaders knew that I saw value in what she did and who she was, that when interesting opportunities came available, that I made sure her name was front and center. And I think, you know, even though she didn't take any of the opportunities I advocated for her, she got an awesome opportunity as a CFO. And I think some of that just comes from, you know, creating that legacy and having that legacy amplified in other arenas.
Well, and I think you brought up something really important there because, you know, in the individual you just met, she is such a champion of yours. I mean, I remember when we first met and we bonded. I mean, she's amazing and brilliant in her own right. And we also bonded on our mutual admiration and appreciation for you. And one of the things that's so unique about advocacy, and I love this, this was an NPR story I heard one time, which is that when you say negative things about other people and they're not around, you're saying this, you're just having, as we do, we gossip, we complain, it's hard not to. But what happens is people listen to what you're saying about someone else and they say, you know, that's true about that individual, but that might also be true about you. So whatever the negative thing, so if you say they're a flake or they're not reliable or whatever it might be, people naturally say yes, and you might be those things too. If you want to see this play out non sequitur, watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. Anyone who complains about someone else, yeah, that person goes, but you go pretty soon after. And so non sequitur, why not bring a bachelor or bachelorette into a professional conversation? But I do think what's amazing about you is the reverse of that psychology is also true. When you say powerful things, you say, for example, and I'm going to sound good here, Michelle DiBella is brilliant, strategic, and transformative. People are going to hear that and go, you know, she is. I know her. Is Brandon that too? I may or may not be, but the point is I know you are. And the reason there are power in our words, the negative ones are attributed to us and the powerful ones. And if you want us, people to think well of you and attribute great words to you, it behooves you to be an advocate for others. And I think you do that so incredibly well. And I think that mutual friend that we have now that is, as you point out, CFO, did that so well for you. And so is this is almost echo chamber that happens. That's beautiful positivity. And these somewhat at times, negative times, you want to be the positive force. So it's I encourage everyone to have advocates and be them. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Michelle.
It's a feedback loop, Brian or Brandon. You're so like, right. It's totally a feedback loop. And I think, especially if you are somebody who does give positive feedback about those superstars and those rock stars that you want other people to know about, people start to come to you to ask about other people. And again, it's the more positive things you have to say about a broader range of people, you become a confidant, you become somebody that they look to. But that's also another reason why it's really important that people are thinking about who is their advocate. Because once you become the super advocate for people, if I don't have something to say about you or I don't know, that starts to make people go, well, gosh, she says all these amazing things about somebody, why are her words a little guarded right now or things? So I definitely think, again, not that you advocate for people without some good reason, but I definitely think it's a feedback loop.
Well, yeah. I think that's a great point you both bring up. And I think the question you want to ask yourself as a potential job seeker, somebody who's looking to get that promotion or that raise, is you want to ask yourself, would I advocate for me? And if so, what am I bringing to the table? Am I someone who is count-onable? Am I somebody who you can trust that I'm going to get things done? And I find that in all the years that I ran a company, I always wanted to promote and support and advocate for the people who I could count on. If you are somebody who is count-onable, I'm going to advocate, I'm going to bend over, I'm going to get you that raise, I'm going to do everything I can to lift you up in your success. But if you're somebody where I can't trust you to do what you say you're going to do, then others might not be able to trust you. And sometimes, though, this was a very humbling experience for me years ago when I began in business. My business coach challenged me, and there was one particular employee who I was really struggling with, and she was not somebody I could count on. And I'll never forget. Do you know what she said to me, guys? Do you know what she said, like, or when all this is happening? So my business coach says to me, he says, Jen, you are creating her to be a disappointment. And I went, what? What do you mean I am creating her to be a disappointment? He said, you are listening to her through a filter of she's disappointing me. And so there was no space for advocacy in that because I already had it that she was fixed in this little box because of one or two mistakes that had happened way, way long time ago. So the other opportunity we have as potential people who are in a position to advocate is to ask ourselves, are we caught in kind of like a box of how we're perceiving the person? Because sometimes you might hear the person's really good from someone else and you might be fixed or stubborn or say, it can't be that way. And the moment I took my blinders off and the filter off, that person grew to be one of the most successful employees that we ever had at the company. But first, I had to be willing to see how she was good.
You brought up something that I think we should talk about in another episode too, which that makes me think also about references. And I always said, if you're, you know, you and I were both recruiters. I've listened to what? You've listened to 10,000 references. I'll call it 1,000. But the point is, if at any point in this reference, someone said something bad, like actually tangibly bad, it wasn't that I really thought the person's bad. It just made me question their judgment. Why would you ever have a reference that wasn't, why would you not vet and know and be confident? And I think this is where you have to have that trust and that back and forth and have that self-awareness. One of the things you said about your employee, and I think you can appreciate this, Jen, a little more psychology is, oftentimes when we're judging others, we're judging ourselves, right? And so I love what you talked about, moving that filter, and it's so true. Once you take a person where there was conflict at first and you turn them into, you believe in them and they believe in you, those are the best friends and allies you ever have.
You know, I think a powerful message in that too is, just like you need to take your own filters off, sometimes advocacy can help break other people's filters down. And I find that a lot of times I tend to advocate for people who I know are great and who I know are amazing, but maybe another business partner doesn't value a specific dimension. And so sometimes your advocacy starts to make people go, well, gosh, if Michelle is so high on this person, and Michelle usually delivers, like, what am I not seeing about their function, about their role? Maybe I should pay more attention. Maybe I should look for those opportunities. Maybe I should look for things that reinforce what Michelle just told me. And I do think that's a powerful part of being advocates for people, is you can help other people break down their biases or their misconceptions or whatever filter they use.
And Michelle, you're bringing up such a beautiful point, which is also that way that you go to bat. And I usually start, it's my lawyer brain, I like to start with definitions, and I didn't here. But the verb of advocacy is to speak or write in favor of or support or urge by argument or recommend publicly. And it's that publicly part. People are not with sponsorship, which is lifting down and pulling someone up, or advocacy, which is speaking about you're not. No one's doing this because they're really great people, because you're putting your brand at risk. You are putting yourself at risk. And so you do have to have that trust. Can you maybe talk about that, Michelle? Is there a time where you can remember where you were willing to go to bat or put yourself at risk because you knew it wasn't a risk, to your point, that you could? Or has it ever backfired? I mean, I do think there are moments where we go to bat for someone and unfortunately it blows up in our face too.
Yeah, I think I've been super fortunate that I haven't had a lot backfire. But you know, I think I have had to, find some of those situations where I knew I was working an uphill battle for one reason or another. I often find sometimes that, especially at certain stages of careers, people are maybe likely to get very focused on their work and not focus on that customer relationship. And so sometimes the good things they're doing aren't visible to others. And there are maybe peers in their environment that are very visible, very vocal, have a lot of that. Maybe it's even by design, right? Just because of the nature of their role, they have that like FaceTime with people. And so sometimes for people who haven't gotten that FaceTime, advocacy is really their only in those situations, right? And I think that that's an important element to think of, particularly as we're trying to think about building diverse teams, right? We talk about inclusion and diversity. And once you get past the basics of race and gender, inclusion in terms of experiences or different perspectives, et cetera, don't always get to the table unless somebody is actively advocating. You know, they don't have that kind of a degree, but let me tell you what they do have. They don't have this certification. They haven't done that kind of a role, but let me tell you what I know about what they have done that would make them qualified. And so sometimes if the paper resume or whatever people know about other people don't match up to their expectations, the only people who change that are advocates.
It's funny. It reminds me, when you're talking about that, Michelle, of some of the best advocates I've known who get people jobs are actually recruiters sometimes. You know, if you develop a relationship, there are some people I remember when I've helped them get their first job and navigate every job that they've had since then, because even though they might not work directly with you, they can advocate for the companies that you've worked with throughout the years and really step up to bat and say, hey, here's what you bring to the table. I think what I get a sense from a lot of the people tuning in who are saying, okay, well, this all sounds great, but how the heck do you find an advocate? And what if I don't have an advocate? What if I have an adversarial relationship with people in my office? When do I cut the losses and leave? Or is there a way to change my reputation or to find that advocate I need?
Sure, I'll take a stab at that. I think some of the finding an advocate is, you know, there's a lot of that, like you said, there's that trust and a relationship element. So some of it is, if you're trying to create advocacy, you have to be doing your part to give people something to trust or something that they want to advocate for. Usually that's about creating goodwill, you know, helping them with a small lift, maybe stepping in when they need something, doing a little extra that helps make their life or their job easier. You get a lot of gratitude from people for doing that. And I think that's one step of building advocacy. There's going to be some people that it's very hard to advocate for. They're going to hold biases, whether that's a personal bias against you, maybe it's a bias against the type of credentials or experience you have. I know in hiring for finance roles, you know, you have people who are very gung-ho on the public accounting experience and other people who view it as, you know, it's not the real world, it's consulting, like you have to be in the trenches to understand it. And advocates can help break that down. Sometimes you're going to get people who just hold a certain view and you're not going to change that. In my career, when that's happened, and it's happened more than once, I have to ask myself a couple questions. One of those questions is doing the role I'm doing meaningful enough to my career path, impactful enough, or one of those things I have to check the box on? And if it is, sometimes you just have to tough those situations out. However, if you've already checked the boxes and you don't have a compelling reason to do that, sometimes having a lack of advocacy, if you've been introspective and you know what your strengths and your weaknesses are, sometimes it just means you're not going to fit that framework or that regime or that, you know, person's view of the world. You know, I ran into one of those roadblocks with a senior leader who just couldn't see how audit executives could translate audit experience into, you know, managing businesses. And I knew that was very not true. I knew that we had lots of experiences and that I had gained lots of insights in doing the things I did. And I knew I could translate that into results and into action. And he wasn't ever going to believe that. That was one of the factors that made me change jobs.
I love that. And so I love what you pointed out too, that sometimes it is the person, sometimes it is the environment. You know, it's one of the jokes I'll say probably once in a thousand times, which is, authenticity, it looks like this, which is that if you're doing it, and you know, you love this quote, Michelle, because you embody it. But you know, if you're doing it well, some people like you. If you're doing it great, some people love you. And if you're doing it perfect, some people hate you. And it's so few of us are willing to risk being hated that we never actually are loved or we never do amazing things. And it's one of the things that's hard for me when someone gets fired, if you will. And I like to say with my clients, you know, we're either going to get promoted or spectacularly fired. I don't know which, you know, but if you really want to step into your power, you've got to be willing to do that. And if you don't, that's okay too. Play it safe and that's okay. But sometimes when they do get spectacularly fired, they say, I can't believe I got fired. I said, no, you didn't. You chose to speak up. You chose to go forth. You chose to push the envelope. And you knew that there was a risk associated with that. And when someone looks around, it's like, why didn't they advocate or why didn't they sponsor? Because they were never going to. And I think to that point, sometimes we have to push ourselves either out or through. And it's okay, whatever the result is, it just was never going to happen. Michelle, you mentioned leaving. If you would you maybe talk about some of the advocates you've had in your careers, what you've done to make them advocates or what they've done for you?
Yeah, I would say... I think some of the advocacy and this is now bleeding into sponsorship. I mean, I think like even being in the job that I'm at, I had a very influential, very powerful woman in my career who was advocating for me and was kind of sponsoring me to be a specific role at the company I'm at now. And you and I had talked through all the mechanisms and I knew why that wasn't the right role for me. And because I knew I had kind of that, like you said, I'd done the check with myself and I said, okay, you know, whether this is good or bad, I'm going to say what I want to say. And I said, you know, I love you, love the company, but I don't want to do that role again. That's not moving me to my next best thing. That's not taking advantage of what I could take advantage of. Where I think advocacy played into that, even though she was sponsoring me kind of for one role, when I pushed back and I said, I don't want that role, she said, no, that's not right for me. The next question I got was really surprising. I got the, well, what do you want and what could you do? And 2-3 days later, I had a job description that was written for all the other things I could do. And I guarantee that went back to this person. And I guarantee she was like, yeah, I would take her for whatever you can get her. I would take her. And I'm sure that played a huge part, just saying, because she hadn't actually seen me do those other specific things, but she trusted me in the role and she was willing to say, yes, get her in. By the way, that same person advocated for me to actually get a job upscope for one of the team members I was hiring, because she's like, I like both of your candidates. I like them so well. We should have them both. I said, well, they can't both do the same job. She's like, well, why don't they do something else? And that's where we are now. So, you know, if you can influence powerful people, they will speak well of you and they will be behind you when you even want to push back on whatever the opportunity you're looking at is.
And you said something so important that I really want people to think about this in their careers. I really hope they are listening, because the third element of this, it's how do we find advocates? How do we be advocates? But you talked about how do you become your own best advocate? You could have gone and asked that question, but you said, oh, crack my knuckles. You ready? I'm going to lay out all the other things I can do that maybe my resume doesn't tell. And you positioned yourself. You know, it's one of the things I wish I knew when I was a recruiter. I always joke that this simple piece of advice of don't tell people just what you've done. Tell them what you are capable of doing or what you are going to do even better. And what you did there is a masterclass in advocating for oneself. If you want a job, get someone to advocate for you. If you want your dream job, also advocate for yourself. And I Michelle does have her dream job, and it's because she honored both of those. And look what she's doing. And you're continuing that path onwards, it sounds like, within your company to help others rise, right? And to define sponsorship, and Michelle, I assume I want to make sure you define the same, is that sponsorships really are advocates for anyone. They can be someone below you at your same level, but sponsors really are those people at the top levels of organizations that reach down and pull you up. Is that how you define
it? Yeah, I would say to be a sponsor, to be an effective sponsor, you do have to have some power and influence in an organization, because it is really about somebody who can influence a decision about another person's career. And those people are great to have as well. Those relationships probably take a little longer to build, and they probably do require a deeper level of trust and that insight about what people can do. When you find them, though, and I found this too, my personal sponsor in the situation we talked about, she will sponsor many people. And if she is your sponsor, there is a high likelihood that you are going to get somewhere, because she has a ton of influence in multiple business circles. And so I think those are important to people coming through the ranks, and particularly even internally in companies for promotions, knowing who is going to sit at the table with other executives and have the influence to say, you need to bring this person into this role. It's really important.
She once said something. She was the opening act for me in Vegas, which was not fair, because you don't follow the woman that we're talking about. So I had no business. I was just sort of like, well, there's nothing else for you to learn. I'll pack up my bags. But one thing she said that has stuck with me to this day, it was 3 years ago now, was I always think of sponsorship as you pull down, you reach up. And she had this great quote where she said, for, you know, coming up in the world, every time she left the seat, she would hear over and over again, well, we don't have any diverse candidates. We don't have any diverse candidates. It's not that we don't want to hire, we don't have the pull. And one thing she did was she didn't even just pull up. She called it pulling behind her. She pulled five diverse candidates, women and other candidates, into the seat and said, here's five great candidates, choose. But if you come back to me and you say there's not a pull, never call me again. That is, I don't know if I've heard a better definition of both advocacy, sponsorship, or whatever the heck that is. But that has stuck with me through the years, because I've always thought about pulling down. She just talked about pulling five in behind her and saying, you choose. And that's a powerful story of allyship, championship, and a bunch of other ships. Jennifer, because I know Michelle's got a busy life. Do we have, what else maybe you have for her?
Yeah, so I just thought one thing that perhaps we could leave our viewers and listeners with today from your wisdom, Michelle, would be to ask you if there's any advice that you would give to somebody out there, whether that's somebody who's trying to find their dream job or perhaps they're working on building their dream job. What's the poof, magic fairy dust that you would say would make a difference in someone's career?
You know, I think maybe it would go back to a little bit of that self-advocacy is, I think you're only going to get what you want and where you want if you do two things. And one of them is know what you want out of a job. And that doesn't mean necessarily a title. It means what characteristics of a job or a workplace or a boss are very important to you and that are your must-haves. Because if you don't know what that is, you know, you end up looking at titles or money. And that's like, I would just tell you in career longevity, those are two outcomes. They shouldn't be your two focus areas. And then to be a self-advocate, you have to start writing down and knowing and being able to articulate what your value points are. I mean, if I hadn't been able to do that, you can't be ready to say no to a job and expect something different unless you're willing to say exactly what it is you can do and what your value proposition is. And sometimes it's writing it down.
Yeah, and even I love that, Michelle. There was a wonderful technique I learned from a mentor recently about what's your superpower, and go out in the world and ask 5 people, ask people you've worked with, ask your family, ask friends, and say, what is my superpower? Because sometimes it's kind of like a blind spot, like we think we know what we're good at, or maybe we just can't articulate it. And then once you know what your superpower is, I like to call it PEP, P-E-P, productivity, efficiency, and performance. Share examples of your PEP wherever you go. If you're in a board meeting, share an example. If you're just doing work, talk about where have you increased PEP, or where can you increase PEP, and how that all ties back into your superpower. When you do that, you're laying out the yellow brick road to get you to the top of wherever you want to go, because it's like magic. You're advocating for yourself, and you know yourself to know what matters to you.
I think, Jennifer, that probably goes along, especially if your superpower is something that feels a little more ambiguous, like authenticity. Try to define, like, what does authenticity bring you? For me, being authentic means I get great employee engagement, which means I probably multiply the impact of my employees. It means I bring in great team members. I bring in diverse team members because people gravitate toward natural, you know, authentic leaders. I get a little bit of you get what you get, right? Like there is what you see is what you get with me. And so we break down with business partners and there's no pretense. There's no political game with me. They know what they're getting. They know if I don't like something, I'm going to have an opinion. I'm going to express that. So I think understanding how your superpower works in a workplace is really important to that conversation.
And I just want to say that I've been able to see Michelle in real time in these rooms and watch her teams and the way they respond. Some of the best people I know in my career, I know because of Michelle. And the way she supports people, the way she shows up. But it is so true, the way she attracts world-class talent and gets more out of them. People know when you're fighting for them. They know when you're advocating for them. They know, and believe me, day in and day out, they will do the same for you. And they will do the same for the company. And so it's one of the things that makes Michelle DeBell one of the best leaders anywhere in the world. Yes, she's a master of finance, but she's also... her engagement scores are through the roof, and because of that, the productivity is through the roof. So I love that you tied those elements in for any leaders that are listening, but also anyone who's listening that's looking for a new job, work for the Michelle DeBells of work for them, because they will get the most out of you, and then they will provide, you will get the best opportunities available.
Thanks, Brandon. Yeah.
I love that. Michelle, we're so happy that you were able to join us today. And if people want to follow you or find out more about what you're doing, I mean, you're just such a wonderful advocate and somebody who's really out there championing other people. If they wanted to follow you or find out more, where would they go to do that?
You can connect with me on LinkedIn, obviously. And that's probably where we're going to get our best connection, or connect to other people through me.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy that us today. You offered wonderful wisdom, and I'm sure we can all take some of these gems with us out into our lives and learn how to either A, find an advocate, or B, advocate for people in a powerful way ourselves in the rooms we find ourselves in. How can we lift other people up?
Awesome. Thank you both, Jennifer and Brandon, and have a great show. This is really helpful to other people.
Thank you so much, Michelle. It was such a pleasure. Have a good rest of your week.
You too.
Yeah, I mean, as you can see, you know, we got a chance to talk to her before a show, and I probably got 100 hours talking to Michelle just for fun. And I think you can see why. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Any takeaways for our audience based on some of the conversation we just had there?
Yeah, one of the things that occurred for me, Brandon, and I, you know, you and I have talked about this over the years, I'm always a huge advocate for this, is I love Michelle's takeaway that she just gave, is first know what you want. You know, anything you want in life. One of my favorite podcasts I listen to is the Weekly Energy Boost. And today they were talking about on the show about desire. The problem is we think we want one thing, or we might not even, number one, we might not even know what we desire. Or number two, we think we desire something, but then we kind of have like these other desires undermining us of our fear of not wanting to be seen. And so I invite everybody to take some time. Write out your heart's desires. What do you want? What matters most to you? Maybe it's money. Maybe it's benefits. Maybe it's an upward trajectory or a great boss with who will mentor you or advocate for you. But until you write it all down, you'll never know when you get it. And then you'll get in a job and you might quit inadvertently, or you might, you know, not take the job opportunity because you miss the sign. So write out what you want. Write out everything that matters to you. And I'm a fan of even giving each one a percentage so that everything you want cumulatively adds up to 100%. And then have a really straight conversation with yourself and say, what percentage of all of this that I'm desiring do I need in order to make my next move? Is it 80%? Is it 100? Is it 70%? And then that is your template. So that way, when you go out in the world and interview, you ask yourself, what do I want? Oh, here, I already know what I want. Here's what matters to me. How does this line up with that? And then you make more thoughtful career moves.
I love what you're talking about, because it's you also sparked something around today's topic, which is that the clearer you are on where you want to go, the more you know who you need to advocate for you. So if you're trying to be a leader in another organization, you may want, or even in your existing organization, you want your people to say great things, but you also want other leaders to say they'll make a great peer. You know, the more clear you get on where you want to go, the more clear you become on who you need to advocate. You don't need everyone to advocate for you. I think it's one of the things that I learned as a recruiter in Los Angeles over all those years was people want to help. They just don't know how. And so the clearer you're aligned with your vision, the clearer all of a sudden people go, oh, I know who I need to tell so-and-so about. I need to tell this person about. I mean, it's one of the, you know, this is what I always said. You know, you mentioned recruiters, but I always said, we are your second or third best resource. You know, your best is you, actually. Number two are all your colleagues, all your friends, everyone who's ever worked for you that's going to say those great things, that's going to put in those good words. And then after that, and, you know, we should spend a thing on how do you get the recruiter to be your best friend, because you and I know we've had clients over our lifetime. And I do this even in coaching, and I'm sure you do too, where Michelle's one of those people where didn't matter the hour, didn't matter the day, she's got my time. And that was true for people that I found jobs for in my career. And they were so often, not surprisingly, the ones that did a lot for me, whether that is in the reality or just the way they make, you know, it's Maya Angelou said it best. And, you know, when she said, we don't remember what they say and we don't remember, you know, anything. I mean, I'm not going to do the quote, well, all I got is this. Maya Angelou said, people just remember how you make them feel. That's it. That's the most important thing. And I don't try to heat-peat anyone. It ain't going to be Maya Angelou if it is. But people remember how you make them feel. And you are so good at that. I try to be great at that. And I know Michelle DeBella is. And I think, you know, find the people who you know you've made feel good over your lifetime or helped, and see if they don't want to help you back. And it'll feel good. And that's what I love about advocacy. The more you do it, the better you feel. It's crazy.
It's a reciprocal, beautiful dance. And it's really when you give, you receive. And when you receive, you give. And it's the symbiosis that you're creating that's so lovely for everybody to participate in. So I think it's something we can all aspire to, is how can we advocate and be advocated for? And it's creating that synergy. It's a win-win for everybody.
It is.
And Brandon, I know you're good at the three takeaways. So I would love for you to share for our listeners and viewers out there, what are the takeaways that people can walk away from today's show with?
Number one, if you want people to advocate for you, be an advocate for yourself. Number one, you need to be a great advocate of yourself. And the more clear you are on where you want to go, the better you're going to advocate. Michelle talked about things like strengths, but she also talked about your values. Two, say good things as much as possible about as many people as possible. I once got criticized for being too positive. I'll never forget this. And I was like, "That seriously, that's your insult." And the one takeaway I had was, you know what? I may have been too broad. This team is great. I was always advocating for the team. They're great. They're great. The more specific I got, though, you know, they're strategic. They deliver. They this. So there's a kernel of truth there. You know, be specific in your advocacy. To be honest, you know, there's always an ability to go deeper. And then three is, again, I think it's the same kind of principle, but it's be in service, especially to these people who are a little bit more senior to you. Be in service because they're going to be advocates. As I like to say, if they're not advocates or sponsors, they were never going to be it to begin with. I loved what you talk about, how you can change people's hard minds, think about a huge loss in this world, which is Ruth Bader Ginsburg this week. And when I think of the word advocate, it is Ruth. I mean, what she stood for. I love that you can't say, I love this quote of like, you can't spell truth about Ruth. And she stood for so many injustices, against things that are just, we can't believe in our lifetime that existed. Like women had to, have men sign off on home loans and discrimination because your husband made too much money and all these things that would just, it's hard to imagine that she rallied against. And I thought about a story. I could give you 1,000 positive Ruth stories, but there's one that stuck with me. It was Nina Totenberg had written about it. And Nina Totenberg and her, this is an NPR political pundit. And Nina and her were best friends. They had been friends for years. And in the early maybe 80s, 70s, there was a club called the Cosmos Club, and it was finally admitting women. And Nina was one of the first people they were like, hey, do you want to be vetted for this club? And she said, yes. I mean, it's a very powerful club. It was hard for her to say no. And they went through the whole process. And at the end, she got blackballed. She got completely rejected. Years later, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is walking through the same hallowed halls. And at the end of that sort of tour, on the spot, they go, Ruth, you're amazing. You're incredible. Can we please make you a member here? And Ruth said, here's the thing. Beautiful club. But any club that is too good for Nina is probably too good for me, and walked out the door. And that's like, there's a level. I mean, the chutzpah and this little lady was just incredible. But, advocacy can have elbows, and sharpness to it, too. It doesn't have to be kind and puppy dogs. You can fight for what you believe in and argue. It doesn't have to be. It's just because you're an advocate doesn't mean you're positive. It means that you're standing up for what you believe, or in that case, as so often is the case, for someone who is not in that room. I just love that story. May your memory be a blessing.
Yes, I know. It's my phone was off this weekend, and I was at a Rosh Hashanah dinner, and we actually said special prayers and wishing well for her soul, and I didn't even realize that she had passed away because my phone had been off. And you really feel something, because talk about a woman who did advocate for so many and for herself and for rights. And that's something I don't even think we really got into as much on today's show. You get to be your own advocate first. Advocate for yourself first. Otherwise, you will never do anybody else any good. Is realize you add value and be willing to, disrupt things, be willing to shake things up, and be willing to say, I am worth it. I bring value. And you can look outside you all day long for people to point the finger and say, you bring value. But it starts by owning, I bring value. And Ruth, RBG did that so well.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Brandon. Well, any other closing thoughts for you, for our viewers and listeners today?
Yeah, I encourage everyone to look up Michelle. I encourage everyone to continue to connect with us as they see fit. And I would ask you this week to go out and wherever you are, whatever you do in your work and maybe in your life, say some good things about people that maybe some of those people, most of all, and this is certainly my history before I got into this work, those people who aren't saying the good things about themselves to themselves or don't believe in themselves enough. Go out and tell others about them. And you know what? Go to them and tell them about themselves and say the great things. Sometimes you can just, the best advocates in the world, advocate to others on behalf of themselves. That is my story. People saying enough good things that I finally had to silence the imposter and the critic, because I only believed the negative. I didn't believe the positive. And the advocates who stood up against my own detractor, which was myself. But go forth, please share, please fight. You know, we lost another icon this year in John Lewis, get in some good trouble as you see fit, but fight the fight and speak the good, and we change the world.
I totally agree, my friend. And we're here to be of service. Speaking of service, I know you touched on that, Brandon. And, you know, I think being of service is our purpose here on the planet, whether it's to be in service of advocacy, to be in service of our family, of whoever, whatever it is, be in service of something. I heard a gentleman recently say, who is a guru, and he said, listen, I will give you a roof over your head. I will give you food till the day you die. The only thing I ask of you in return is 12 hours of focus a day. 12 hours. Be in service. Do something to help the world, whatever that might look like. And, you know, that's what Brandon and I are here to do every week. We want to give service to you. So please share with us how we can give service to you. That, you know, there's so many ways to connect with both of us. You can find us on the Facebook Get Yourself the Job page and message us there. You can also go on iTunes, leave us any reviews, leave us any comments. Even if you're tuning in on Facebook Live on the LA Talk Radio page, please comment there. That's how we can help grow and cater to your needs. You know, we're in the midst of this special series of how to get the big job, but it's not just about the big job or this job or that job. It's about evolving as human beings and owning our power. So go out there and own your power. Follow us, connect with us. You can email us at getyourselfthejob@gmail.com. Find us on Instagram, Facebook, and just know that we're here to be of service to you. And we're so grateful that you tuned in today. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.